Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We asked Mick Mulvaney about this. He became a political consultant and economic contributor for News Nation last May. Of course, he was the director of the OMB in the Trump administration for a few years, and for over a year served as the acting White House chief of staff. He was a commentator for CBS for a while as well. So I asked him what he thought about McDaniel's ouster.
It doesn't surprise me. I guess it disappoints me, but it doesn't surprise me. It bore a lot of resemblance to my experience at CBS. I got hired by CBS about, 2 years ago, and the talent on air went nuts, up to and including Stephen Colbert pillaring me on a late show for about 10 minutes. Even though I had nothing to do with January 6th and never denied the outcome of the 2020 election, which John, is one of the things that makes me think this has nothing to do with January 6th or election denials. It's just because of Rana's association with the Republican Party generally and Donald Trump more specifically.
What do you mean by that?
They just don't want to hear it. They cannot fathom actually listening to somebody who worked for, with, or supports Donald Trump. They feel that Donald Trump is the enemy. They feel that Donald Trump is the next coming of Adolf Hitler, and they feel that they are legitimizing him if they put anyone who supports him on the air.
Do you support Donald Trump in his run for the presidency? Will you vote for him or would you endorse him? What do you think about him as president in 24?
Yeah, I'm a private citizen, so endorsements don't really count. But at this point, I do plan on voting for him. Look, I did not support him during the primaries. I still think he was the weakest of all of the Republican candidates and probably the only Republican who can lose to Joe Biden. But general elections are binary choices. So essentially, it comes down to Joe Biden or Donald Trump. And between those two, that's a really easy pick for me. That's not Joe Biden, I can assure you.
When you say that they didn't want a conservative voice on NBC, clearly four members of the management of NBC did want her there, but it was some of their star on-air contributors or hosts like Rachel Maddow who did not. I guess there was at least that the idea that you would have a conservative voice, Ronna McDaniel of all, at NBC, there was support for that, but evidently they misjudged some of the reactions from their talent.
Yeah, there was not only support for it, there's apparently considerable support for it if you believe the dollar figures that they were throwing around. The number that I've read in the press, I don't know if it's been confirmed or not, was $300,000. That's a lot of money for one of those types of positions. So, yes, you're right. There was support for it amongst the management. And that's, I guess, encouraging at some level. But then they rolled over for the talent. It makes you wonder who runs the company, who runs the corporation. Is it the folks who think they run it or is it the on-air talent? In this particular circumstance, it's sort of the on-air talent. I wonder how you think you might be treated if WGN took a corporate decision that you really didn't like and you went on the air to slam your bosses, if you'd have a job the next morning. You and I probably would not have that, but at NBC they apparently do.
I thought $300,000 didn't sound like a lot of money. What are we paying you, Mick? Are we not getting you the $300K?
Are we on the radio right now? I don't know if I'm allowed to say that publicly.
We're taping this now, but I plan on playing it on the air.
I can assure you it's a lot less than $300,000.
You know, I wonder, though, if, say what you will about the on-air talent not wanting Ronna McDaniel as an on-air contributor. And actually, my understanding was she wasn't going to be so much on the air as rather informing the news division about the sort of inside politics, who the players are and what the ideas are at the Republican Party or in the Trump campaign. So I don't know if that somewhat insulates NBC from some of the criticism that its stars were lobbing. But I do wonder about her. If you are an election denier, or if you supported the denial of the 2020 election, that's full stop. You can't cross that line. If you were on the wrong side of that line and were in the business of journalism telling the truth, then you're not a truth teller. You poisoned the well.
I hear that, and I guess if my experience with CBS wasn't in the ether here, wasn't in my background, then I might tend to sort of lean that way. Because, again, I'm not an election denier. Joe Biden won the 2020 election fair and square and said that from the beginning. But when I see what happened to Rana and then I compare it to what happened to me at CBS, it leaves the doubt in my mind that January 6th or the election denial has anything to do with this, because I don't fit into that same bucket. I got the same treatment that Rana did, even though the facts around my background are different. So in my mind, I wonder, and I'm wondering out loud, if that's just not an excuse. Clearly, CBS didn't need that excuse. So maybe NBC was just saying, look, this is the easy way to sort of explain why we don't want the person. And that's enough for them. I guess if I was going to disagree with it outright, let's say that I didn't have that same experience with CBS, my point would be, okay, I disagree with Rana on election denial. I disagree with Rana on January 6th. But at the same time, roughly 40% of the country doesn't. If NBC wanted to get the perspective of a large swath of the American public and how they perceive the news, how they perceive politics, maybe it would be of some value to have that person inside the tent. And clearly, the management of NBC thought that. So I guess the question would be better put to the leadership at NBC, which is, okay, if she was an election denier and she was sort of supportive of January 6th, then why did you agree to hire her in the first place? Because clearly they do not think, or did not think it when they signed her, that those two particular qualities were disqualifying.
Your career is not in journalism, but I wonder, should a network news division hire somebody who supported the president in fighting the results of the election when they were known, who denied the election results? Should a network news division hire a person like that?
Clearly, the management of NBC originally thought it was okay to do that, because they signed the check. They signed the contract.
I understand that.
So I would listen. I wish they'd hired me. There's no. I would.
But you didn't deny the election. You. What was your reaction to January 6th? What was your reaction to the results of the 2020 election? You personally.
I quit on January 6th. I was still a member of the administration. I was a minor member of the administration. I'd left the White House in March of 2020, but I was the special envoy to Northern Ireland and ambassador in the president's administration. Working for the State Department, and I quit that night, quite publicly, as a matter of fact, went on TV the next day and said that this is not what I signed up for. But apparently that was not enough of a contrition for the talent at CBS. That's the difficulty they had with me at CBS, was that I worked for Donald Trump.
Well, she did say, Rana did say now that she was working for NBC, albeit for 4 days, she said, she no longer has to take one for the team, that she can be freer with her speech now. I find that highly pejorative, that she took one for the team previously, meaning she knew full well the results of the election, but supported the investigations into it to further Donald Trump's chances of stealing the election. But now that she's not on that team anymore, she can speak the truth. That's a highly negotiable version of truth-telling.
Yeah, and listen, I guess I'm sympathetic generally to the concept of when you are on a team, and you and I work for larger organizations, and sometimes you have debates inside the family, and the family might come to a decision that you disagree with, but it is the outward-facing position of the organization, and then you go on to defend that. I could draw all sorts of analogies, not good ones maybe, but analogies to the spending that we did in the Trump administration. I was against it. The president went a different way, and when we went out to the public, I defended it. Now, that's a difference between making, a corporate decision at a company or a spending decision in administration and attacking the integrity of an election. So again, like I say, it's not the best analogy, and I don't think that would atone for any mistakes that Rana made when she was at the RNC again. So what I'm trying to say is I get the general mindset, and I think generally that's something that people understand. With things that are extreme, like, say, violent riots against the transfer of power, the rules are different.
But one last question about that business of taking one for the team. If you're the chief of staff for the Trump administration, or if you're the head of the Republican National Committee when Donald Trump is the president, and you know something that he is saying to be not true, including that the election was stolen, is your obligation to the team, or is it to the truth for the American people?
It's a great question. And obviously, at the end of the day, the answer is the truth. But here's how you approach it, which is you try very hard to change something from the inside. And if you are not able to change it, and then you believe that the final decision is immoral or illegal, then you have a choice, which is to stay silent and have everyone correctly assume that you assent to that illegal position or that immoral position, or you quit, which is what I did on January 6th. If Rana had really felt that taking one for the team was immoral or illegal, then she should have quit her position at the RNC.
Which she did not do right away.
I don't think she ever quit her position. I think she was forced out. But because it was believed
that her position wasn't sufficiently in line with Trump's denialism. She, however much a denier she was, wasn't sufficiently on board, and that was the source of friction, as I understand it, for her and the administration at the time.
I've heard that, but I also heard that there were other folks within the organization who we lost a lot of elections. I mean, we did. We lost a lot of elections when Ronald McDaniel was the RNC chairman. At the end of the day, that is the metric that any party chairman is measured by. So I hear what you're saying, and I'm not disagreeing, but my guess is there were other factors in the decision to move on to different leadership at the RNC.
Mick, it's really nice to meet you. I very much appreciate your commentary today.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day, John. Talk to you soon.